The Trend Reporter is a production of iHeartRadio. Trends are constantly changing. There's something new in wellness, beauty, and food every day. That can be a lot to keep up with, so let me do the work. I'm the Trend Reporter, Mara Schiavocampo, here to tell you everything you want to know about the trends you should know. Hey guys, so I was really debating whether or not to release an episode this week. If you're listening to this episode in the future, this is the week that the country is on fire. There is mass civil unrest. George Floyd's funeral is this week. We're having a lot of really hard conversations that needed to happen. So frankly, I know this is a podcast about wellness and beauty. I love wellness and beauty, but I'm not in the mood to talk about lipstick right now. But I also had to ask myself, you know, can we use this platform and can I use my voice for healing? And I think that the answer is yes. You know, self-care is something that we hear a lot about, and it may seem really small and insignificant in the scheme of things, of everything that's happening now. But with everything that's happening right now, I don't think it's ever been more important. We're facing such an onslaught of crises, one thing after another. I mean, 2020, like, let me off this ride. If we don't take care of ourselves right now, we're going to be lost. So today, I want to explore some new and innovative self-care strategies that I hope will help you get through this moment and whatever else this year throws our way. Joining me now is Latham Thomas, mindfulness practitioner, celebrity doula, maternal wellness practitioner, and the author of two bestsellers, Own Your Glow, A Soulful Guide to Luminous Living and Crowning the Queen Within, and Mama Glow, A Hip Guide to Your Fabulous Abundant Pregnancy. Latham, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Mara.
So how are you feeling? I always worry about the healers because I think, who heals the healers? You know, like the people who are taking care of everyone else, who is taking care of them? So how are you feeling?
I'm actually doing well because so much of my work is connected to supporting people, supporting women that are at the threshold of change in their lives. I really need to think about like what rest looks like for me, what restoration looks like, and how to ground myself in healing. But I have to do that like daily, right?
Right.
This is a time that we really have to anchor in practices that are consistent and offer us space to reflect and to process what's going on around us, but also to ground ourselves so that we can do the work we're actually put on earth to do.
So generally speaking, in my life, I have this set of wellness tools, if you will, that I heavily rely on. So these are my go-tos. They're things like yoga, journaling, meditation, prayer. And, you know, in the midst of this really difficult, challenging year where it just feels like we as a nation, as a planet have been hit with one thing after another after another, I was actually really surprised by the way that I responded to all of those challenges. And what surprised me and it disappointed me, I was disappointed in myself, is that all of the things that I have been doing, all of my spiritual tools, all of my spiritual practices immediately fell by the wayside. And I went to the old dark places, the binge eating, the stress eating, the drinking too much every night. And I was disappointed in myself because I said, you've been training for this, essentially. Mm-hmm. Like if you've been doing this day in and day out as part of your life, this is what's supposed to anchor you when shit gets hard. And instead, you're discarding all of the tools that are really going to get you through and you're going to the things that are going to drag you down.
In these times, we also have to give ourselves grace, right? Like when we do things that are sort of out of alignment with our goals. And I think that so much of our journeys, especially as like Black women and women of color, of sort of holding this this torch of being strong, this is a time for us to be vulnerable. This is a time for us to lay on the floor and cry until we feel like getting up, you know? And so sometimes it feels like your tools are falling out the window, but I think it's like we're being pushed to a place where the only response in some cases is to just like let ourselves crack open and just see what, you know, comes out.
Well, yeah, it makes perfect sense. And what's interesting is it, you know, and you just kind of triggered a realization for me in that the one thing that was different about the way I've handled these things in the past, even though the actions were the same, I was realizing what was happening. There was a lot of awareness. And I was saying, you are way more stressed and anxious and fearful than you're allowing yourself to feel because you don't even like M&Ms, but you've eaten a whole bag tonight. Mm. And so what is going on with you? And that, I think, is the fruit of all of that work.
Yes.
To be able to say, okay, you're not as okay as you would like to think. I wanted to do two things today. One, I want to keep it all the way real because people are really hurting right now and we don't have time for the bullshit. So let's talk about things that can actually help people. And two, I wanted to offer some new strategies. You know, we often talk about the baths and the journaling and the meditation, which is great and important, but I was looking for a little bit of a fresher take. So let's just dive right into your first strategy, Latham, and that is pleasure, prioritizing physical pleasure.
Yes, 100%. I mean, I think that, you know, touch is so important right now. And whether you're partnered or alone, you know, there are ways that we can make sure that we get touch daily.
I have come to feel that there are certain things that humans, adult humans, really need to be their best selves. And
yes.
I believe that regular orgasms are part of that, however you get
100%.
Them. 100%. Yeah. Because, well, you, I mean, you're the expert. Tell me what the what are the benefits of that? I see it in my life. And again, I'm not trying to, you know, get
you know, well, TMI, what do you see? Yeah. Well, what are the benefits for you?
Confidence. Mm-hmm. That feeling of a treat, like if you've just had an ice cream or you bought a new lipstick, like I have done something good for myself today.
Yeah.
Really, really connected to my body, to the physical self and what I'm feeling, and relaxed. It's like nature's glass of wine. I mean, that has been my experience. And that's when I started to realize like, this should not be optional in my life. Like this should be consistent and regular and I need to prioritize it.
Yes. Prioritize. I love that. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that, you know, when we think about it from a health perspective, definitely like reducing stress, you know, and helping people to change the composition of hormones in their bodies. So if you have like, you know, a lot of high stress and you have a lot of cortisol or adrenaline, noradrenaline, you know, in your bloodstream, then having an orgasm sort of dissipates that energy and brings happy hormones like oxytocin and dopamine into the bloodstream and makes you feel a sense of euphoria. And like you said, this glass of wine, right? You're also increasing blood flow to your organs, not just your pelvic organs, but you energize your entire body. You also, you know, you're getting more oxygen. There's a lot of interesting things that happen as we move towards a climax, right? I mean, the daily dose is like super important. And like you said, no matter how you get it is really like, you know, it's up to you.
But getting that in a really satisfying way can be tough for some women. Do you have any advice?
You know, I think that just even understanding what pleasure looks like for you and what it involves for you and be able to articulate that for yourself or be able to do it for yourself and not expect it from your partner only. You know how to play your own instrument, then you know how to make music, right? Mm. And if you don't know how to play your own instrument and you come together with someone else, it doesn't sound like music, right? It's like cacophony.
Right.
So learning to play your own instrument, like having time to self-pleasure, whatever that looks like for you.
Right.
And so I think just being able to connect with that, learn more about our bodies, make your pleasure like paramount and central and not at the expense or like sort of after, you know,
it's not
like,
optional.
Okay, I'm going to. It's not optional. Yeah. And it's not like for debate, you know, it's something that you have to be really clear about, like if you're going to be in a partnered relationship or even if it's just like you're
whatever you're doing with another person, that there is an energy exchange and that it has to be that you are part of that equation, not just like a sort of a receptacle for their pleasure.
Does touch necessarily need to be sexual for there to be a benefit?
It does start with self, right? So like make your bed every day, go to your shower, you know, touch your body. When you clean your body, when you come out though, like really adorning yourself with the oils and the lotions and the creams and whatever it is that you like to put on your body. But that touch, not just like rushing through, but like really taking your time to touch your body, even doing that practice in front of the mirror, you know, to look at yourself while you touch your body is a really beautiful sensual practice that connects us to our bodies because, you know, our culture is about turning away from our bodies, right? And not listening to our bodies.
And being critical, hypercritical.
Right? Exactly. So if you have, you know, a dialogue with your body that isn't positive, this is a way to also sort of get in right relationship with your body.
Can this have a positive impact on other areas of your life?
When we're talking about pleasure, like the seat of our pelvis, right, is a basin for pleasure, right? And it's also the seat of creation and creative action. And so you don't want to feel like cut off from that energy. You really want to use that energy because it fuels other things that we do in life outside of the bedroom.
Your next self-care strategy is vocal toning. Latham, what is vocal toning?
When I was a younger, a child, my grandmother would hum a lot, right? And I'd be in the kitchen with her and she'd be baking or making coffee or cooking and she would hum. And I just remember sitting on the counter and listening to her. And I didn't know at the time that there was any health benefit to that. And now we know that there is incredible health benefit to a practice like that. And toning is essentially humming, but without like a melody. It's just holding a single tone. And so what it offers
I hate to interrupt you, but I would love to hear what it sounds like as you explain it. Can you give us an example?
Yeah. So it's just like if you were to... if you were to close your lips and take a deep breath, and while your lips are closed, the tone that's closest to your speaking voice, you would just release that sound, right? So it's just like humming. So you would just inhale. Like that.
And you right? do it until you're out of breath?
You come to the end of the breath, and then you receive another breath, and you continue like that.
When and how would you do this?
You can do that seated. You can do that lying down. You can do that seating back to back with a partner or your child or whoever's there, or back to back with the wall, whatever. You can do that over FaceTime with a friend, you know, that you're committed to a meditation practice with together, whatever. You can do it anytime, you know, and you can do it to help yourself fall asleep.
Why is it effective?
What it does do is elongates your in-breath as well as your exhale. So you have longer inhalations, longer exhalations. It expands the breath, which is really good for also inducing relaxation, right? So it actually creates almost like a trance-like breathing pattern, which will slow down your brain waves and make them even more organized. So it does the exact same things that meditation does for you when you're just in a seated practice, but it does it much more quickly because of the sound and also because of the breath. And so what's also interesting about it too, is that when you're using your throat, you know, we have this vagus nerve, which runs along the neck, and it actually weaves down our body and innervates every organ. So when you're making sound, you're actually also sending that energy down to every single organ in your body. So you're also like creating this internal massage of your organs with your sound. And sound is like vibrational, right? So it has like its own healing properties because it breaks up energy, it moves energy. So it's a way to kind of also give yourself like an internal massage. So that's the other really important piece about it that we can take and use as fodder for self-healing. Like we don't have to, like if you can't go get a massage right now, you can do vocal toning.
I love the idea of, you know, when I first started meditating, I watched a YouTube video. There was a monk who was talking about meditation and he said, well, the mind is like a monkey. And when you meditate, you give the monkey a job and you tell the monkey, just watch the breath, just sit here and watch the breath. So I always think,
that's right.
I always think that's funny because my mind is out, it's like 10 monkeys. And so the the vocal toning, it sounds like another job that you're giving the monkey, right? Just listen,
exactly.
Just listen to the sound and it you know, can kind of help you on that journey. Your last tip is to focus on your surroundings. So I love that you have said surround yourself with beauty. Now that will look different to different people because beauty, of course, is in the eye of the beholder. It can be the color of your room. It can be the way you stack your books. It can be the art that you hang on your walls. But I feel like this is a very easy way to just lift your mood and brighten your spirits. Why do you think it's important to surround yourself with beauty?
I mean, I can't imagine being in a space where I didn't wake up and feel inspired or thankful to be there. In the time that you are, where you do have like a moment where you can say, hey, you know, maybe I can paint this room finally, or maybe I can rearrange my bookcase, or maybe I can, you know, move the furniture around. And it's a really great time to do that.
So does that mean fully redecorating?
I think it doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be a huge investment. There's so many things, like there's artwork that can be hung finally. You know, there are, there's rugs and things that might be moved to different areas. There's pillows that could be refreshed. You can just change even the pillow covers, you know, on your sofa. You know, there's plants that can be brought into spaces, or you can start to think about repotting plants, which is a good time to do this right now. You know, bringing some things that are living into your space.
There's one thing that I do that has made a huge difference. I organize my books by color.
Yeah, that's beautiful to
and
organize by color.
Then I have them placed, like sometimes you need a pop of yellow in some spot. Sometimes you need a pop of blue. I just found it was a really great way to put things where I need that mood. Like if I need a red mood, like that's where those red books are going.
There you go, right? The hues, right? Yeah, I think it's important though for so many reasons. One, you know, like you're... A fish is only healthy as the water it's swimming in, right?
Can you say that again? We don't think about our environment enough.
Right. A fish is only healthy as the water it's swimming in. And so if you think about, you know, your environment, like if it doesn't feel good, then it's going to reflect in how you move through the world. It's going to reflect in your actions. It's going to reflect in how productive you are, you know, and there's a reason why a lot of the like sort of new agey startups and stuff have created these workspaces and they've worked with psychologists to design these spaces for productivity, for community building, and to really centralize what they're sort of cultural values are through the workplace, right? And there's a reason that they have the layouts that they have and the colors that they have and the types of furnishings that they have, right? To sort of create this environment of expansive awareness of like open communication and open possibility, right? There's a reason for that. And so no matter if you're in like a sub-level apartment, or whether you're in a high rise, or whether you're in your mom's house, whatever it is, right? Like really owning your space. And even if it's like a temporary thing that you weren't hoping to stay in the situation, you're here now, right? Like wherever you are, really like, you know, figure out how you can make your mark in that space more. And one of the things I love to do, and I do this in my home, but I also do this when I travel, is create like little altars, you know, like little just spaces where, you know, there's moments of reverence for whether it's for people, for nature, for beauty.
Why does this help?
we're hardwired to recognize beauty. And so your home is no different, right? Like when you have a place that feels cozy and comfortable and all of the things that you need it to be, then you're going to reflect in your actions the sort of mood that your space is giving off. And so this is a great time to figure out what it's going to be for you for this next season, to clean, to set new energy, to, you can do all these, there's beautiful cleansing rituals. I have some in my book, but there's so many you can look online and figure out like how you want to do that to set a mood for this next season. And to know that like this time will end. And so like, how do you want to emerge?
I love that. And you did mention your book. It has lots of other rituals, lots about self-care and empowerment. That's Own Your Glow. And you also have a meditation audio program, Meditations, very cute, which is guided meditations and rituals for rest and renewal. And where can people find you on social media?
I'm just at Glow Maven, GLOWMAVEN on Instagram. And if you're pregnant or looking to be, there's at Mama Glow. We have a lot of good content there and on our website as well, mamaglow.com.
Latham, thank you so much for this conversation. It's exactly what I needed to hear. And I know a lot of other people need to hear this stuff too.
Thank you so much too. And I'm so proud of you. So thankful. I just love that we're able to have these types of discussions and also to have you be a person who's also leading the charge and showing people that it's okay and it's important to take these tools and use them as your own.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. I want to know what trends you have questions about. So hit me up on Instagram. I'm at Mara S. Campo. You can also check out the Trend Reporter on YouTube, covering all of the newest trends, including tutorials on everything from food to beauty. That's youtube.com/Mara S. Campo. The Trend Reporter is a production of iHeartRadio. For more shows from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.